السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. I commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Him, the Almighty, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, and those of you who may be tuning in from other parts of the world, I welcome you all to the first episode of this series titled Faith Revival, where we hope to, inshallah ta'ala, each time we meet, pick an ayah from the Quran and discuss it in detail in a move to revive our faith. Before I continue, I have a small request. If you could all please come forward and fill up the gaps, inshallah. Jazakumullah. The gathering would look more complete and be easier for me to, you know, relate to you all, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah bless you all. Ameen. So in a move to revive our faith, why? Because we have the hadith that has been recorded in the book of Imam Al-Hakim rahimahullah, if I'm not mistaken, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that our iman, our faith, wears away, in the sense it wears out like clothing, like garments. And he is reported to also have said that we are supposed to keep making dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Allah to revive and renew our faith. So this entire series is based on that, in a move to revive our faith, in a move to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly myself, and then all of you all present here, those who may be tuning in, and inshallah in the future as well. May Allah accept it from us. May Allah bless this gathering. May He make this gathering a gathering where the angels shroud us with their wings. The sakina, the tranquility of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends upon each and every one of us. All of you discussing about, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah azza wa jal make high mention of us in the seven heavens. Ameen. Please say ameen. You see, this intention that you have right now, you are in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if your intention is sincerely that you're here for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get closer unto Allah azza wa jal, to revive your faith, to renew your faith, you know what happens? The hadith has been recorded in the book of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. Authentic hadith. Powerful hadith indeed. You know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says? And he is the one most knowledgeable about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes or no? He is the one most knowledgeable about Allah, and he is telling us, and will he lie? No. He is the most truthful, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, along the lines of these words, that if an individual draws closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a handspan, Allah azza wa jal draws closer a cubit's length. And then he goes on to say, if one draws closer to Allah a cubit's length, Allah draws closer a fathom. And if an individual draws closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a fathom, Allah draws closer unto his slave walking. And if a slave draws closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala walking, Allah draws closer unto you, harwala, the Arabic term in the hadith, he comes to you running. Now when we say running, we don't mean running like how human beings run. Allah says so in the hadith, we accept it, we believe it, كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِشَأْنِهِ وَجَلَالِهِ, in a manner that befits His majesty and His glory. Anyway, the point being in the hadith that Allah draws closer to you. You are attempting to draw closer unto Allah. Allah does not leave you hanging by the thread. Allah does not leave you stranded. No. Allah draws closer unto you. And just imagine if the King of all kings, the Lord of all worlds, the Almighty, the Exalted is drawing closer unto you. And if you have Allah by your side, what do you have to worry about? Nothing. You have nothing to worry about because you have Allah with you. May Allah accept it from us. And may Allah help us all to draw as close as possible unto Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshaAllah ta'ala, the ayah that we have in place for today's discussion, the few minutes that I have with you all, is ayah number 18 from the third surah in the Quran, Surah Al-Imran. The ayah that I read at the beginning, at the inception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the Almighty, He says, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. We're going to be focused, you know, with the first part of this ayah, where Allah says, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. Let me loosely translate the ayah. Allah bears witness. Listen to me attentively. Allah bears witness that there is no God, there is no deity worthy of worship other than Himself. Wal malaika, and then the angels. Wa ulul ilm, and then the people of knowledge. So scholars of tafsir highlight that when you look at this ayah, it was Allah who at the very beginning, He was the first, wal awwal wal akhir. He was the first to bear witness, to proclaim that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Himself. And then afterwards it was the angels and then the people of knowledge. But at the very beginning, at the first, it was Allah who declared this, who made this declaration that there is no deity, la ilaha illa hu. There is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. So this ayah captures so much of power. It talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declaring Himself. And you know, honestly, the topic for today's talk is, who is Allah? But I am overwhelmed to be talking about the majestic Lord. I'm overwhelmed. Who am I to talk about Allah? Therefore, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the right and appropriate words upon my tongue to talk about Him azza wa jal. And I pray that these words penetrate deep into your hearts and that it revives our faith and that it fills our hearts with the awe, with the fear and the consciousness of our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in another place, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself in more detail. Allah azza wa jal, He says, in the grandest ayah in the Quran, the grandest ayah, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard man dhalladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi-idhnihi يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. The grandest ayah in the noble Quran, the grandest ayah, the most powerful of ayat, ayatul kursi. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself in great detail. Before we translate the ayah, we need to have a little bit of a context in regard to this ayah. Ayatul Kursi, at times translated as the verse of the throne. Ayatul Kursi. Ayah is loosely translated as verse, and Kursi, throne. But then when we look in the books of tafsir, we have many opinions put forth by the scholars. Firstly, there are scholars who differentiate between the Kursi and the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, no doubt there are some scholars who are of the opinion that Kursi and Arsh, they're two Arabic terms, and that they are synonymous in nature, and they both mean the same thing, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are other scholars who go deeper, and they say, no, there is a difference between the two. Arsh, if you look in dictionaries, in books like Lisanul Arab and other books that, you know, break down an Arabic term in great detail, the term Arsh is defined as Sarirul Malik in the Arabic term, which means the couch of a king, the throne of a king. Now obviously, we don't mean that the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like any ordinary throne of a worldly king or a worldly ruler. Nay, it is much greater and much grander than that. But the term Arsh is used for that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the throne of Balqis in the story of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, which we will discuss one day inshaAllah, Allah says, وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah talking about her throne, Allah says she has a great throne. وَلَهَا عَرْشٌ عَظِيمٌ. For her is a great throne, Arsh. So Arsh is clearly translated as throne. But what about Kursi? What about Kursi? And in terms of the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before we go into the Kursi, we have a hadith that talk about the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, we have the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, where he is reported to have said, along the lines of these words, between the first heaven and the one above it, between the first heaven and the one above it, how many heavens do we have as per the Quran and the Sunnah? Seven heavens. So the first heaven, and then you move on to the second heaven. Between the two heavens, this hadith clearly states that there are 500 years. 500 years in the sense, you have a distance of 500 years. And we'll come back to it, but let's just try to cover the narration first. And then, from that heaven to the next heaven, another 500 years. And from that heaven to the next heaven, another 500 years. So 500 years, 500 years sandwiched between each heaven until you reach the seventh heaven. And then after the seventh heaven, you have 500 years, and then the Kursi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from the Kursi, you have another 500 years, and you have water. Water. By the way, this is Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu who is saying this. It is an authentic narration, and he is a companion who would, as per the scholars of hadith, who would not narrate weak narrations or Israila, in the sense Israeliyat, Israelite traditions. So, if he is saying this, and this is something from the world of the unseen, no doubt he must have heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very close companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, between the Kursi, you have 500 years, and then you have water, and then another 500 years, and you have Arsh, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about Jannah, about the 100 levels of Jannah. The topmost level is Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Jannatul Firdaus. Ameen. On top of Jannatul Firdaus, Jannatul Firdaus is at the top. And above that we have the Arshur Rahman, the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah states in the Quran, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, that He has ascended over His throne. Now does that mean He has ascended like a worldly king ascends over His throne? No. He has ascended, we accept it. How? We don't ask how. كَمَا يَلِيقُ بِشَأْنِهِ وَجَلَالِهِ, again, in a manner that befits His majesty and His glory. Now I want you all to reflect on this hadith for a moment. It's easy to say 500 years, 500 years, 500 years, and then just gloss over the narration. You know, we live in very modern times, yes or no? 2017. How many of you all have heard of Elon Musk? Elon Musk, familiar name? No? Tesla? How many of you all have heard about Tesla? You know the electric car? Now they're saying that, inshallah, Sri Lanka, in a few years, all electric cars. Nice. So he is a brilliant individual, a researcher, a scientist. Now, before Tesla and before all these companies, he had this idea, and now he's working towards it. He set up a company and he's making huge leaps forward. He plans on colonizing Mars. You can read about it. He plans on colonizing Mars, basically taking humans to Mars so that we can live on Mars. It's not a fantasy. He's really working towards it. He has a $1 billion company working on it right now as we speak. But initially, when he pitched this idea across to investors, nobody was interested. Why? Because Mars, living on Mars, you know, it doesn't really seem as if it's possible. And he needed a lot of money to research, to build rockets and whatnot, and nobody was ready to invest. So what did he do? He looked at the cost of rockets, and then he found out that, you know, they had been, you know, drastically overly priced. And simultaneously he was working on other projects like Tesla, for example, which is a booming success today. It's the best electric car, I would say, on earth right now, with so much of technology packed into it. An amazing car, and it's selling left, right and center. So that was a booming success. And with his own money, he set up a company called SpaceX, and currently they are working on building rockets and, like I said, working towards colonizing Mars. Now we're living, the whole point of me mentioning all of this is because we're living in such times, interesting times. But yet, when we talk about space, in all honesty, we haven't covered much. Even in terms of the moon, there are so many conspiracy theories that perhaps they never really made it to the moon. Wallahu alam, Allah knows best. And even if they did, have you covered the entirety of Sri Lanka? No. Have you traveled to every single corner of this planet? No. So even if they did make it to the moon, it was just one tiny area of the moon and then they came back. So that's just the moon. What about the other planets? And science, with all due respect, keeps changing. One day Pluto exists and the next day it doesn't exist. And there are so many stars out there, so many galaxies. We are part of the Milky Way galaxy. But is that the only galaxy? No. There are so many more galaxies, so many galaxies within this universe. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, all of this put together, everything, not just Earth, all the planets, the entire solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars, this galaxy and all the other galaxies out there, and if life exists, all of that included, is all within the first heaven. First heaven. And that's why Allah says in Surah Ar-Rahman, يَا مَعْشَرَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِنِ اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مَنْ تَنْفُذُوا مِنْ أَقْطَارِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فَانْفُذُوا. O assembly of jinnkind and mankind, if you can penetrate through the heavens or down into the earth, فَانْفُذُوا, then do so. لَا تَنْفُذُونَ إِلَّا بِسُلْطَانِ. You will not be able to penetrate except by the authority granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can try all you want to penetrate, but you will not be able to penetrate. You will not be able to penetrate. So this is just to give you an idea of the context that we're talking about. The first heaven alone, we haven't covered anything in regard to the first heaven. And then Allah says 500 years, and these 500 years, we quickly assume 500 years of our years. But wallahu alam, Allah knows best. It could be years by Allah. A day by Allah is equivalent to 1,000 years by us. Subhanallah. Do the math. Your calculators will fail. You go 500 years, 500 years, 500 years. And each day by Allah is equivalent to 1,000 years by us. Because Allah is above time. We are bound by time. We are bound by time as the creation of Allah. Allah created time. Allah is above time. Time does not apply to Allah. Allah can bend and manipulate time the way He wants. That is Allah. That is the creator we are talking about. So that creator, the arsh, belongs to Him. Now what about the kursi? Now Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he brings forth a very clear statement in this regard. He says that the kursi is the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The kursi is the footstool of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, you should know, he is a sea when it comes to tafsir, an ocean, so much of knowledge, and a very, again, another young and very close companion under the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he defines the kursi as being the footstool of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith, we have Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, another famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, going to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asking him, Ya Rasulullah, could you tell me about the kursi? The narration goes along the lines of these words. Allah says in the Quran, in the same ayah that we read, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His kursi extends over the heavens and the earth. So, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about the kursi. Allahu Akbar. You know, this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should send shudders down your spine. He says, the kursi. If you want a comparison, if you want a comparison to understand the greatness of the kursi, مَا السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعَ. The seven heavens and the earth, all put together in comparison to the kursi. Now, seven heavens. Now, I want you all, don't just gloss over when I say seven heavens. Think about the expanse of the universe. Think about the sun. Think about the moon. Think about our planets, the stars, the galaxies. Think of all of that. That's just the first heaven. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. The whole idea of this episode and these episodes, inshallah, is to fill our hearts with the greatness of Allah. I want you all to travel with me. Think of Allah. Think of the creation of Allah. All of that put together, in comparison to the kursi, is like a vast desert. I want you all to picture this now. Think, if you are on a chopper ride, you're in a helicopter, and you're flying over the Sahara Desert. Which desert? Sahara Desert. Big or not? Very big, very vast. And you have, whilst you are in the chopper, you have an iron ring with you, a tiny ring. Now, whilst flying over the desert, if you drop the ring, will you be able to find that ring? Will you be able to find it? Yes, if it has GPS, you can find it. I'm talking about an iron ring without GPS. You won't be able to find it. Why? Because it's nothing. It's going to be like a speck, a grain of sand in that desert. How on earth are you going to find it? That is the comparison between the heavens and the earth put together in comparison to the kursi of Allah. The heavens and the earth, tiny iron ring. The kursi of Allah, the vast desert. The comparison doesn't end there. And now you need to compare the kursi with the arsh. Now the kursi becomes the ring and the arsh becomes the desert. The arsh, the throne of Allah, is the greatest and the most vast thing from the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The arsh of Allah azza wa jalla. The throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the creator we are talking about, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And ayatul kursi, this is why this is known as the grandest and the greatest ayah in the Quran, the most powerful ayah in the Quran. And it goes into great detail talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah himself describes him. Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah, there is no deity worthy of worship other than him. Al-Hayy, Al-Qayyum, the ever-living, the eternal, the one who sustains everything. Everything. Again, you know, when we read these ayat, we gloss over. When we say Allah sustains everything, we think of human beings, we think animals. But you need to think deeper, you need to ponder and reflect. Think about the oceans. Think about the depths of the oceans. Think about the animals living in there. Who is providing for them? There are depths that human beings have not ventured as of yet. In pitch darkness, so many feet deep, and there are huge creatures living down there. Who's providing for them in that pitch black darkness? Because sunlight does not reach those areas. It is Allah, Al-Qayyum, the sustainer of everything. Allah, Lafdul Jalala. The name of Allah, to which every other name connects itself to, not the other way around. Allah has magnificent and glorious names, Asma'ul Husna. All the names of, and Allah has an infinite number of names. Remember, Allah has an infinite number of names. We think that Allah only has 99 names. No, the correct opinion is that Allah has an infinite number of names. And all those names
Point to Allah, lafzul jalala. As Allah says in Surah Al-Hashr,
وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
Every name of Allah points to Lafzul Jalala, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah. So Allah starts this ayah off by saying, Allahu la ilaha illahu. Allah, there is no deity worthy of worship other than Him. Al-Hayyul Qayyum. And then Allah says, La ta'khuduhu sinatum wa la nawm. You and I, we are weaklings, puny human beings. We can't wait for a while except that we fall asleep. We feel tired. We fall ill. You know, sometimes you can be the most powerful person, but yet when you fall ill, you realize how weak you are. You can't get out of bed. You may have all the wealth in the world. You may have mansions. You may have everything. You may have all kinds of delicacies in front of you. Yet when you fall ill, all of that fades away. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Sleep does not overtake Allah. Slumber does not overtake Allah. Allah does not doze off. Nay. We have the famous hadith. I repeat this often, because it's a hadith that captures so much of power. Hadith is in Muslim. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he says, and the narration goes along the lines of these words, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ يَخْفِضُ الْقِسْطَ وَيَرْفَعُ يرفع إليه عمل الليل قبل عمل النهار وعمل النهار قبل عمل الليل حجابه النور. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, please remember salawat, and I mention his beautiful name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the most acquainted of Allah, who is the one closest unto Allah, the most knowledgeable one about Allah, he says, indeed, Allah does not sleep, nor does it befit His majesty or His glory that He should sleep. He never sleeps. يَخْفِضُ الْقِسْطَ وَيَرْفَعُ. He raises the scales of things and He lowers them. He is the one who gives honor, He is the one who humiliates and puts forth disgrace. It is Allah. The deeds of the day go up to Him before the deeds of the night. The deeds of the night go up to Him before the deeds of the day. حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ. Now I want you all to ponder. The veil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is made of light. اللَّهُ نُورُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. The veil of Allah is made of light. لَوْ كَشَفَهُ لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبْحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَنْتَهَا إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. If he were to remove that veil, if he were to remove that veil of his, the light of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would dazzle, would burn every single creation in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I, we have limited vision, yes or no? Can we see beyond that wall? We can't. Can you see beyond this wall? You can't. Can you see beyond this wall? You can't. After a certain distance, can you see? Say you climb on top of the highest building in the city, there is a distance that you will be able to see. But that is it. Can you zoom in with your eyes? You can't. Is anything hidden from Allah? Nothing. Our eyesight? Limited. Do we have night vision? Do we have infrared vision? No. Certain animals do. Certain animals do. But our eyesight, we say the vision of a hawk. Why? Because the hawk or the eagle can see from high above. The sight of Allah is nothing of that sort, is nothing like that, because laysa kamithlihi shay, there is nothing in comparison to Allah.
But we know that Allah sees everything. So that means every single creation would be dazzled by the light of the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Allah that we are talking about. He says, لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Everything in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah. Everything. You know, in your phones now, you have what? Google Earth. It's interesting. Check it out later on. It gives you like a 3D hologram of the lovely planet that we're living in. And because your mobile phone has GPS signals, you can, you know, pinpoint your location with it. So if we over here, if we were to do it, we can do it. It'll show you planet Earth first, and then you zoom in, and then you can zoom in into your country. And we know that Sri Lanka is a tiny dot anyway. And then you zoom in and you can find the city that we are in. You zoom further and you will come to this particular point, and then you zoom further and there you are, that tiny dot. Bleep, bleep, bleep. But in comparison, what do you think you are? We think high and mighty of ourselves. But in reality, we are weaklings. We should be in so much of awe in regard to this great and powerful creator of ours, the Lord of all worlds. Everything belongs unto Him. Everything. Don't worship your intellect. Today we have, and again it's because, see, that's the purpose of this series, to revive our faith. Because when your faith starts to wear away, Shaitan seizes the opportunity to put in doubts. We start questioning the existence of this powerful maker who is sustaining everything, who has created everything. We start questioning Him. We start worshipping our intellect. And we say, does God really exist? Is there really a God? We start questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, you should know that the iman of the angels, they don't go up or down one level. Iman of the prophets, rising. Our iman is like the equalizer, up and down. So we hit those spiritual lows, and that's when Shaitan seizes the opportunity. So whenever you hit those lows, it is incumbent, it is important that you stay with the right company, that you further your knowledge, that you read the Quran, study about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fill your heart with iman. Because when your heart is filled with iman, the levels, your spirituality starts to rise. And these gatherings are important for that. You know, you can read, you can do all of that. But these gatherings, to come, to be in the house of Allah, to talk about Allah, to feel it, to feel the vibes, it's important. For me firstly, and then for all of you all. That's when our hearts are filled with iman. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. InshaAllah, when you pray Salatul Witr after this, when you pray Salatul Tahajjud tomorrow, when you wake up in the night and pray perhaps, when you pray Salatul Fajr, I want you all to think of the grandeur, of the greatness of Allah. This is the creator you are worshipping, you are subjected unto as a slave. This is the creator that you are prostrating unto, this great and powerful creator. Everything belongs unto Him. And then Allah says, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who can intercede by Him except with His permission? Subhanallah. No one can intercede. You know, on the day of Qiyamah, a horrendous day, a horrifying day, we will run from prophet to prophet. We will go to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and we will plead, we will beg, intercede on behalf of us. And he will say, no, I am not the person for it. Go to this prophet. We will go to prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and we will plead, we will beg. We can't bear the torments of this day. Intercede on behalf of us. And that great prophet will say, I have never seen Allah so angry, nor will He become angry like this ever again. I am not fit to intercede. Go to this prophet. We will go from prophet to prophet. Moses, Jesus, Abraham, Joseph, Hud, Jacob, all these prophets. And they will all refuse. They will keep referring to another prophet. Until we finally go unto our beloved prophet Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salamuhu alayhi. May my mother, my father and myself be ransomed and sacrificed for him. sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We will go unto him and we will plead and we will beg. And he will say, yes, I am fit to intercede. And he will seek the permission of Allah. And he will intercede and Allah will grant him permission. And he will intercede on behalf of all of us, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So no one can intercede except with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah goes on to say, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Allah knows. Allah talks about His knowledge. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Allah knows what is by you all, what is behind you, in front of you. Everything is known unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is hidden. The knowledge of Allah is infinite. And that's why I said, don't worship your intellect. Don't worship your knowledge. Our knowledge is so finite, so limited. The knowledge of Allah, infinite. You see, if you really understand the concept of infinity, you will know what I'm talking about. The knowledge of Allah is infinite. We have a hadith that has been recorded in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim rahimahullah, and it is authentic as per the conditions of the Shaykhain, Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. It is authentic as per their conditions, even though they have not recorded it in their books. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he says that Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, and the narration goes along the lines of these words. It's an interesting narration. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about the encounter between Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam and Khadir. There was an encounter that has been mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf in detail, which we will discuss during another day inshallah. But this point, I'll mention it and we're close to wrapping off inshallah. When Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam met Khadir, they set out on a journey. And on the journey, they spot a tiny bird. A tiny bird. And that bird was dipping its tiny beak. We have a tiny bird which obviously has a tiny beak. Yes or no? Now this bird is dipping its tiny beak into the ocean. Khadir looks at Musa. Khadir alayhi salatu wa sallam looks at Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam and he says, Tadabbar, ponder, you know, ponder and reflect on what this bird is saying. So Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam asks Khadir alayhi salatu wa sallam, what is the bird saying? Now he goes on to tell him and inform him about what the bird was saying. He says, the bird is saying, مَا عِلْمُكَ وَعِلْمُ مُوسَى فِي عِلْمِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا كَمَا أَخَذَ مِنْ قَارِ مِنَ الْمَاءِ. The knowledge of Musa, in the sense, your knowledge. The bird is saying, your knowledge, O Khadir. And Allah talks about Khadir in the Quran, informing us that he was given knowledge from Allah. He had so much of knowledge. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a great prophet of Allah, he too was given so much of knowledge. Can we compare our knowledge to the knowledge of these two individuals who have been given knowledge by Allah? Nay, never. The bird is saying, your knowledge and the knowledge of Musa put together in comparison to the knowledge of Allah is like what is in my beak and the ocean. The few droplets of water in the beak of the bird, that is the knowledge of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khadir alayhi salatu wasalam put together. A few droplets. And the ocean is the knowledge of Allah. And scholars go on to explain that even the ocean can be quantified. It is finite at some point. If you have the right machinery, if you have the right equipment, you can quantify how much of water is in the ocean. But the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is even beyond that. This example is only for our weak minds to fathom, to perceive, to understand. The knowledge of Allah is far beyond that. No shows. S-H-O-R-E-S. No shows. Infinite. That's the knowledge of Allah. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And no one can comprehend, can gain anything of knowledge unless he wills. If Allah wills, then you will gain knowledge. Otherwise, you will remain ignorant. May Allah save us all from ignorance. Ameen. And then Allah says, وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The kursi of Allah, the footstool of Allah, spreads over the heavens and the earth. And this is something that we already discussed. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. and the preservation of the heavens and the earth, it does not tire Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has been doing it from the beginning of creation. Allah is doing it and Allah will do it. And it does not tire our maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about it. If you, O great human being, who thinks high and mighty of himself, if you are given the responsibility, let's say you are the richest person, you are richer than Bill Gates, or for that matter, if whoever is the richest on the face of this earth with real assets to prove it, and not the stock market stuff, yeah, say you've got all gold reserves and whatnot, okay, you're the richest person, and if you are given the responsibility of feeding every single creation, every single organism in the oceans, for one day, will you be able to fulfill it? You have to make sure that every single creature is fed. Will you be able to do it? I'm not even talking about 2-3 days, just one day. Will you be able to do it once for one meal? Can you make sure every single creature has been fed? That every single bird flies back with its belly full. Can you make sure? You can't. But Allah has been doing it from the beginning. Allah is still doing it. And Allah will do it until the end of time. And وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. It will not tire our maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, this is Allah. But honestly, this is just a tiny glimpse. Within the 45 minutes or the 1 hour that I had with you all, I've just given you all a tiny glimpse of our maker. And this is the beginning of this series. Inshallah, we're going to go into ayat, because at the end of the day, the Quran that we have with us is not a creation. It is not a creation. It is Kalamullah, the speech of Allah, subhanallah. The speech of this great creator. Think about it. Every ayah, every word, every letter is in its place for a reason, not by coincidence. This maker, do you think he will utter words, futile words, in vain, without a purpose? Nay, every single letter, every single word has its place and purpose. So we are going to study, inshallah. We are going to study in detail. We are going to go into the ayat and deduce lessons. And we are going to apply these lessons in our lives. We're going to instill in our hearts the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to expel all doubts that the devil keeps casting. And we're going to pray unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the strength to keep on going forward in terms of our spirituality, in terms of purifying our hearts, in terms of filling our hearts with positive elements, in terms of ridding ourselves of all toxic and negative elements, and staying away from the traps of the devil. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll be having these sessions every third week, every month, every third week. And I think the masjid has put up posters, and if you follow me on social media, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all over the place, you know, I'll be putting up posters and you will be updated in regard to the topics, in regard to the timings and whatnot, inshallah ta'ala. And I hope you will make it. And I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity. We have to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity. I have to thank Allah azza wa jal firstly for blessing me with this platform, with this opportunity to be able to talk about Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. For all of us to discuss about our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Him and we pray that He keeps giving us such opportunities to keep meeting and talking about Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive all of our sins. With that I conclude. I ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless all of us here. Please say Ameen. To forgive all of our sins, to accept our good deeds, and to help us to purify our hearts, to help us to revive our faith, to help us to stay away from sins, to help us to identify the plots, the snares of the devil, and to stay away from the snares of the devil. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fills our hearts with taqwa, with khashya, with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the consciousness of Allah azza wa jal. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfects our conduct so that we become the embodiment of the Quran, the embodiment of the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to act upon what we preach. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to get closer unto Him And just as how He keeps uniting us here in this masjid and in other places, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah, where we will drink from the blessed hands of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wayan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullahu.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.